fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
Everything sounds really good right now.
Wow.
Yay.
I don't trust it.
Neither do I. All right, so this is Part-Time Fanboy, and we are here a second day in a row, I guess, because yesterday we talked about the Dark Knight Rises, bleh, and now we're going to talk about Comic-Con, finally, because we all made it back safely. Corey, in case you were wondering, because I know I saw that email, and I was like, Corey doesn't know what we're going to talk about today. So, well, I just figured it would be neat for us to get on and, you know, we don't even have to do a full hour and just talk about Comic-Con and, like, what we think about it and what kind of a time we had at the con, you know, like, reflections of Comic-Con, I don't know. But, so, what did you guys, I know Paul and I, we went down together. We went down and we were there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then, Corey, you only got, like, a small chunk of the show, right?
Yeah, I left late on Saturday, later than I'd planned, but and so it kind of turned into this whirlwind drive down, and it was actually pretty fun. We got there, and there's probably about an hour left for the floor to be open.
Uh-huh.
And I had a list of stuff I wanted to buy, so it kind of turned into this, you know, like, marathon, this, like, treasure hunt scramble.
Nice.
And it was kind of fun, actually. It was kind of like a fun game. Like, you know, will I get everything I want to? And I did. Right at the end, I got everything.
Oh, what did you end up? What did you end up finding?
I got. Let me see. I'm looking at my pile over there. I got the a WYSIWYG from Top Shelf.
Uh huh.
And here, I'm gonna grab my stack so I can see it more clearly.
Grab your stack.
If you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the kind of podcast this is. But how was traffic while you were going down?
It wasn't actually too bad.
On a Saturday, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think it's because it was the time. I mean, on the other side of the, you know, going north it looked kind of bad.
Oh, really?
So I think it was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 or something.
Yeah, that's probably why, because I know in the old days, I used to just go for a day, and it usually would be Saturday when the con was kind of smaller and more manageable, and right. The traffic on the 5 was just horrible, mm-hmm. Just like a ridiculously horrible, and I try and stay away from that, whether it's taking the train or taking an alternate route that I've discovered, which I will not share with anyone because I don't want to share it. So I'll tell you offline, but Paul and I had a pretty good drive down. So what did you grab? What's in your stack?
So my stack consists of, as I said, WYSIWYG by Ed Piskor, or however you say his name, from Top Shelf.
Yeah.
And also The Underwater Welder by Jeff Lemire.
Yeah,
which was making its debut, and the Comic Book History of Comics by Fred Van Lente and Dunleavy there.
Oh, that sounds cool. That sounds cool.
It's you know, a history of comics in comics form, which is something I've always wanted to see.
Oh, that's cool. I got to check that out. Is that on sale, like, in general, or?
I think it's in stores now. IDW put it out. They originally self-published it as single issues, and then IDW collected it.
Oh, I'm gonna have to check that out. So you had pretty, and then we all met up for dinner after that, because I know that out there cares. So then then you headed back that night, right?
Yeah, that's right. Then we just drove back.
You must have been exhausted.
Yeah, it was pretty tiring.
Yeah,
but I fortunately thought to we actually got a fairly close parking spot, and then and I actually had the thought to drop all our books off at the car before we went to the restaurant. So that was like,
yeah, that was very smart.
It's like, look.
Yeah, and just as a small piece of advice to anyone out there, if you are at the con, try and find, like, get your friends together for dinner and, like, decompress, whether it's like Friday or Saturday or Sunday night. It's just I think that our Comic-Con dinners are always so much fun, and I would recommend that everyone do that, because then it just becomes like a big, you know, sort of gossip yelling fest of like geekdom, you know. So it's just fun. It was a lot of fun. So Paul, what did you think of the show this year? Did you have a lot of fun? I mean,
oh yeah, you know, I always have fun every year. You know, it's sort of the running joke with us. Every year we swear it's going to be our last, but we just keep coming back.
I know.
And really, there's no way to approach Comic-Con that's not going to be sort of physically or mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
Because it's such a huge thing. However, I really enjoyed this year just sort of getting out away from the convention center itself and looking at all the little things that have sprung up around Comic-Con. I mean, it's really spilled out into San Diego.
Certainly
into the Gaslamp District a lot more than it has in the past. And, you know, some of my favorite, you know, things that happened to me, you know, and meetings that I had with people were either just outside the convention center or on the way to the convention center or, you know, over meals or drinks or things like, and you know, that's it. It seemed a lot less stressful this year than it has in the past, just because of frequent getaways from convention itself.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that if you have the time, the best thing to do is really get outside of that convention center, especially if you're not standing in line for, you know, what do you call them? Jesus, you know,
for the
panels. Yeah,
right.
I mean, if you're and Hall H and Ballroom 20 specifically, if you're not there to see like the big Warner Brothers announcement or the big Marvel announcement or, you know, whatever's happening, which there was a lot of going down, you know, there.
Those are fantastic, but you know, so many of those are just posted on the internet right away or in their entirety, that, you know, I really encourage people to go to the smaller panels.
I agree.
The two that we went to, I know you actually went to more than I did, but the two that I attended were just fantastic little panels.
Well, the two that I saw on Saturday was the Oddball Comics show, which with Scott Shaw, who
hilarious
and absolutely love. And this year he was on fire. Like, that guy was on fire. He was on. It was great. He did not hold back at all. And and I mean, I've seen his show. I saw the show last year, and then I saw it when it was in Hollywood because I live in L.A. And but neither of those was as good as this year's. I mean, I just thought he was just on. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, he had the audience rolling, and he had me rolling too. And then the Michael.
He's a good host.
Yeah, Michael Uslan. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Uslan. Right.
Uslan. Yeah, and that was a really good panel too. And that was through, you know, our mutual friend Miguel kind of recommended that we check that out. And that was a really good panel, and it was not really that full. There were people there, but it wasn't packed. And this is the guy who's basically responsible for creating the modern Batman movies, right? I mean,
right. Yeah, he's the executive producer on all of them.
Yeah, yeah, and he gave a really good talk, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, following your dreams and you know, sticking to your guns and just following it to the end, because so many people just thought he was crazy when he wanted to do a dark Batman film, right? And and now look at it. That's all you get is, you know, for the most part, is the dark Batman. I mean, it's pretty much he's really changed the Batman and comics culture, you know. I mean,
yeah, and it's just such a nice, generous, you know, positive person too.
Yeah,
that's really the most interesting thing, is you sort of do have the stereotype of like the surly nerd,
you know,
at these conventions, but you know, if you're going to these panels, you realize that most of these creators are just really fantastic, nice, generous, intelligent people. And the Mark Waid panel, you know, definitely cemented my admiration for the guy.
We went to the Mark Waid panel, And that guy, you know, if nobody, anybody who's been listening to this podcast knows that we, at least I, me and Paul, I don't know about Corey, we love Mark Waid. And I just love what he's trying to do as far as digital comics are concerned at thrillbent.com. And but he gave a really good panel. And, you know, me, part of my thing is like, can't we save print? Can't we just save print? And, you know, I mean, this guy's a pro and he's been around for a while and he just keeps... He says, you know, the distribution channel is not going to improve. It's not going to get better. It's just getting worse for print. So, you know, the internet might be the only salvation, which I still think that there's kind of a wrongheadedness about that, but that's for another podcast. You know, I think that there's a different way to approach it. But he was really great. I mean, he wasn't like poo-pooing when I asked a question about, you know, little kids discovering comics through the print books. And that I didn't want to hand over my $500 tablet to my 5-year-old to, you know, read comics to. He laughed and he was like, I totally understand where you're coming from. He didn't poo-poo me, where a lot of, you know, you go to panels and sometimes, you know, these kind of maybe socially awkward people get up and they ask a question and you could tell that it's really hard for them to ask the question, which wasn't the case for me with Mark Waid. And sometimes creators will really just like knock them down and you're just like, ooh, that's not, you know, and some people get a he was not like that at all. You know, who knows what he was thinking when it's, oh, great, somebody else is asking about print. But you just get this thing of, and he outreached to the community. That was really cool, too. He's like, if anyone can help, you know, with PHP coding or stuff like that, you know, please contact me. So, yeah, that was a really good experience, too. So the big panels are what a lot of people are there for, but you're really missing the little gems here and there if that's all you go to, you know.
It's funny when you go to Comic-Con and then you return home and you look online and you see all the news that you missed. Like while you're in Comic-Con, you're not aware of anything. I mean, they could have announced that, you know, Marvel and DC have teamed up to publish Archie comic books. You wouldn't even know. Then you get home and you're like, oh, you know. So yeah, when the smaller panels really are the ones to go to because they don't get covered and you're seeing something that is unique.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And that's the thing is if you're going to those panels, that's all you're going to because you got to wait online all day, like the giant panels. You've got to wait online all day, and then you have to stay in that room. Like even if it's, you know, a Michael Bay presentation or, you know, whatever it is, you know, you've got to stay in that room. You cannot leave or else you're going to lose your spot and have to wait online again. So if you're waiting for, like, let's say Man of Steel, which is something that I really wanted to see, I wanted to go to that panel because I'm a Superman fan and, you know, whatever. I'm a grumpy old man. I probably would have been like, oh, they're ruining Superman, you know. But there was a part of me that wanted to go. But then as soon as you head for the line, it's like, forget it. You look at it and there's so much more to see than this, you know. And like you guys said, I actually watched the Superman panel on YouTube at work the very next day. So they didn't show the clips because they couldn't show the clips. But I'll get to see the clips eventually, you know. So
Don't lose those.
Yeah. And I think there's – what's that?
The other thing I would also encourage people to do is, you know, meet people there and develop a group of people who have a wide vary of interest within the con itself. You know, like at our table for dinner, we had people who were there pretty much just for the gaming. We had people who were there for the indie publishing. We had people who were there for the big things. We had, you know and when you sit down and sort of decompress and have that dinner, you end up finding out so many things that you did miss in the con that you sort of experience it vicariously through everyone else.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's great because we were there for 3 days. Corey was there for an afternoon. I know like our friend Adriana was only there for 2 days. And it's just like really, and everyone just has like a different experience, right? Like everyone, and it's just when you all get together at the end of the day and like you said, to decompress, it's just absolutely crazy. But it's really, to me, the amazing thing is a lot of the criticism of Comic-Con in the past couple years has been that you can't really walk up to the creators anymore, or there's such a huge crowd that you know, you can't walk up to somebody that you admire. And I didn't have that experience. Last year I did, and the year before that, there was a lot of like crowding and cramming at maybe like quote unquote hot creators booths or something. But this year, and I actually spoke to a retailer there, and they said that the floor was a lot less crowded, that there was a lot less actual business going on the floor. So mm-hmm. I have a feeling that maybe people were heading for the big panels and not taking in the smaller panels and, camping out, you know, or trying to buy stuff on the floor, because I was actually able to walk up to a lot of people and have small conversations. Like one of the creators that I love, I bought his book for my daughter, Ben Caldwell, The Dare Detectives. He's an amazing cartoonist, and he's doing like a Kickstarter thing for his Dare Detectives book. But, you know, nobody was there at his booth, or like maybe two people. And I was like, this guy is amazing. And he actually sat down and, you know, pulled out his Mac, and he showed me a couple of tips for coloring, you know, on his Mac, you know, and how he chooses his colors. And so you can still sort of have that experience, and maybe you can have it more at, say, like WonderCon or like EmeraldCon, you know, a smaller convention, but you can still have it. You just can't be there maybe on Saturday, or it seems like Sunday's gotten really crowded too, right?
Yeah, Sunday has gotten crowded. I think a lot of that has to do with the sort of bargain seekers at the end of the convention.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the other thing, again, when it comes to, you know, meeting the creators and meeting the people that you want to meet, you know, you sort of, again, get outside of the convention, you know, because the people are working there. You stand a much better job of seeing these people sort of outside of that environment, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, at least, I mean, this year I probably had more creator, you know, run-ins or talks with than I have had in a lot of years.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's just being, you know, sort of taking the initiative of doing it, you know, look, and when the opportunity presents itself, you just take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, go ahead, Corey.
Image Comics had a really cool setup at their booth, where they basically were creating their own little artist alley, and I was able to walk around there, and like Christian, like you were saying, like there wasn't that many people. Like I didn't even realize that that's what it was at first, because there weren't a lot of people. Yeah. And I was able to talk to I think it was Shane Houghton, the artist on Reed Gunther.
Oh, I got to pick up that book.
And he, you know, we just chatted, and he was just very easy to get around, and all the tables that I went to as I was scrambling around, everyone was really pleasant. Like it was probably the most laid back that I remember sort of the vibe of the floor being. I don't know if that was just me, because I was just like, yeah, it's a game, and I, you know, there's just no pressure.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a nice experience. It felt fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the image booth, it's really interesting that you point that out, because they were like that last year, and last year was pretty crowded. And this year, I was walking around and I picked up like Science Dog from Corey Walker and you know, the guy that writes Walking Dead. Oh God, I'm a horrible nerd. But yeah, anyway, Robert Kirkman. Yeah. And but they did a collected Science Dog hardcover. And I also picked up an Invincible t-shirt while I was there, which I've been looking for a cool ass Invincible t-shirt forever, because it's like my favorite superhero book. And they had a really cool shirt this year, like a baseball shirt. But it's exactly like you said, the Image comic books booth, except unless you were looking for Walking Dead. Right. Specifically, Walking Dead was packed, but the Walking Dead sections. But if you were looking for something else, they were wide open. And one of the scores that I got was, I don't know if you guys have heard of a book called Danger Club, which is another really good superhero book by Image. But the first issue, I have not been able, like a first printing of the first issue, you can't mm-hmm. find it online for like less than $10 now. They had it there for $3 and all three of the creators signed it for me. So cool. Yeah, and they were like, this is a first printing, your comic shop probably doesn't have it. And I was like, you are absolutely right, I've been looking for this, you know, and I had them sign it, you know, and I'm not going to sell it on eBay or any, unless I see like it's like a Walking Dead and it's gone up to $4,000, which right. probably it's not going to, but you know, it's just, I was able to have that experience, and I think I had that on Saturday. And another great bargain place is the Arkea booth. I hope I'm pronouncing
yeah.
that.
They're great, yeah.
Oh my gosh, they have all these beautiful books, and there was this guy there, I don't have his card on me right now, but he walked me through almost every single book, and their big deal was like, you buy two hardcovers and you get three hardcovers for free. So you would buy two, or if you bought one, you got one for free. And I was just looking for my daughter, and I got like a Fraggle Rock graphic novel for her, and something else. I can't quite remember what the other one was, but mm-hmm. literally for the price of one, I got two. Arkea does such beautiful graphic novel books.
They're really smart. Deal. They always do that sale. And you know, one of my sort of rules as I was running around was, okay, no more than three at each booth.
Yeah.
And I left with four from them because of that.
Yeah, and that's really smart too. And but I have a big rule, and maybe this is going to make people hate me a little more, but it's like, honestly, if I can get it cheaper on Amazon, I hold off. You know what I mean? If I can right. get something cheaper on Amazon, I will hold off. And that might sound, you know, whether if it's through a secondhand seller, but it's like, really, it costs a lot of money to get down there. There is a lot of there's a lot of unique stuff that you can find at Comic-Con. So if I can right. find it someplace else for cheaper, and I can spend my money on something that's genuinely unique.
And you don't have to lug it around all day in your backpack.
Exactly, which is why I didn't take five hardcover Arkea books that I wanted to lug around all day, you know, instead of just two, you know. So there's a little logic in that. It's like you've got to plan, you know, how much weight are you willing to carry around for the rest of the day, unless right. you're in downtown, unless your hotel is in downtown and it's not a hassle for you to walk. But that's that for me is a big rule, I know it ticks the retailers off, but I'll be whipping out my smartphone left and right. Like there was a lot of I was looking for some deals on 20th Century Boys, which I don't know if you guys have read, which is one of my favorite manga, and I'm up to book 12 on it, and I've kind of held off. I wanted the series to end before I started picking stuff up, and now it looks like it's about to end, and I was looking for a good deal, but the manga booths were not giving up the really sweet deals this year, and I could find them cheaper on mm-hmm. Amazon, so I decided to hold off on that, you know.
I've started to read that.
Oh, it's great. I love it. Yeah.
One of the things, too, that's nice, though, about Comic-Con is that one of the books that I bought was from First Seconds Press, uh-huh. and they had a booth there. It's called Level Up, and I'd been looking for it. It's by Gene Yang, who's created a book called American Born Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's a really fun book about a kid who's sort of struggling in his parents' expectations, and he begins to sort of see life as a video game. Uh-huh. And I've been wanting to pick it up for a while. When I dropped by the booth, they actually had another artist there promoting his book, and they were giving it away. And
oh, wow.
And so I got that book signed. And then, you know, just two or three booths over, I was able to get Level Up signed by the artist, Tian Fan.
Oh, wow.
So that's the nice thing. That's really sort of the exception that I make when in terms of buying, if I could get it cheaper somewhere else, is, well, could I get it signed here? Is it by someone who I would want to, you know, to sign the book? So
yeah.
that's always my exception to the rule, because otherwise I'm sort of with you on the Amazon rule.
Yeah, and you're right, and that is my exception too. Like if you can sort of buy it straight from the creator too, sometimes that is my exception to the rule. I mean, I've definitely found myself paying more when I get it straight from their hands, and the money is going straight into their pocket, you know. I just, but otherwise, it does. It costs a lot of money to get down there. If you don't have some way to get a comp pass or something, you know, you're paying. If you're there for the whole weekend, you know, I mean, it seems like tickets. I remember when tickets for Comic-Con were like, for the whole weekend, were maybe $75 at the most. And now the whole weekend is like almost $200, which wow. is crazy, you know. I just think that's insane. And then the tickets sell out so quickly. The thing that shocked me was that Sunday there were so many families, like little kids and strollers, and I'm like, how did these people get tickets? You know, because it seems like you can't, you know. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out, because I know that I have a certain in that will let me get in for you know, a decent price, or you know, reasonable, you know, for free. And I don't know, Corey, if you have an in like that, but it's I don't know how I guess you would say quote unquote civilians get tickets these days.
Yeah, know? I don't even that actually was my first column on Robot 6 was about that Comic-Con needs to be accessible to the people that are sort of just merely curious about comics, instead of just catering to the hardcore people who are willing to you know, obsessively watch the internet 6 months in advance and, you know, scramble to get something, get a code, and then you come back 2 months later and then you log on for an hour. And exactly. You know, so it's that's actually my big thing. Yeah, I mean, from my work with Dig Comics and my work with the Comics Observer, and certainly now with Robot 6, I'm able to get in, you know, either as press or as pro. And I you know, I don't know if I would be going if I wasn't, because I just don't know if I want to put that much effort into into buying a ticket. You know, it just seems like
yeah.
It seems like the Walking Dead escape obstacle course was less complicated than buying a Comic-Con badge.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's sort of the thing with me is because when I used to go, if it wasn't for the connections that I have, I probably wouldn't be going to that. I would just go to WonderCon or something else, you know, Ape.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this LA has a convention called Kamikaze now that started, I think, in November, I want to say, last year.
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be a new one, and they teamed up with Stan Lee, so now it's probably going to be an even bigger deal.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another like local show that is probably more reasonable to get into.
Yeah, the Kamikaze, is it called Kamikaze Con? Because I saw a handout and it had Stan Lee's giant cartoon, giant caricature of Stan Lee's face on it, and they were like, "This is the Stan Lee convention." So is that? And I think it's coming in September, actually.
Yeah, you might be right. That sounds right.
Yeah, I think this year.
Yeah, it's like Kamikaze Expo or something like that.
Kamikaze.
And they debuted last year, and then. And then several months ago, they teamed up with Stan Lee, and so now, yeah, they're all excited.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess if we can go to that, we should check it out. I mean, we're all L.A. locals, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's just a matter of letting the wife know that I'm taking another day to go to another comic convention. It's just like, okay. But, yeah, that'll be cool to check out. And then, obviously, the San Diego Comic Fest, which Mark Evanier's kind of trying to start up, that could be an alternative to people, right? That's in October, correct?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're starting something up too, so maybe there'll be a lot of good alternatives. But it's really interesting because I was actually discussing this with my wife, and I was saying, you know how San Diego kind of fought so hard to stay down there. The Comic-Con fought kind of hard to stay down there instead of letting it go because, you know, other people were bidding on it. I was thinking that maybe the organizers at San Diego Comic-Con might have been very smart to hang on to that, because I think they might have realized, because Paul, you and I kind of talked a little bit about this, that maybe Comic-Con has peaked a little. Like, maybe there's people, you know, entertainment companies dropping out. There's, I don't know if you guys heard, there was somebody involved in PR who wrote an article, an anonymous article for the Hollywood Reporter, saying, like, why are we going down to Comic-Con? It's a waste of money. So a lot of these big entertainment companies have already dropped out, and a lot of these... You know, oh, hold on, Ian's on the line. All right, Ian's here. Ian just joined us. But before Ian joined us, I was saying how I think that maybe the organizers of Comic-Con may have been smart to hold on. The organizers of Comic-Con in San Diego, the convention center, may have been smart to hold on to the convention, because I'm getting a feeling that maybe Comic-Con has peaked a little bit as far as the entertainment companies wanting to bring their stuff down there. You know, I was saying that apparently in the Hollywood Reporter, somebody involved in PR, you know, public relations at one of the studios or a PR company, a big PR company, wrote an anonymous article saying, like, why are we wasting our money on Comic-Con? It's a waste of money. It doesn't pay out dividends. So maybe a lot of the entertainment companies are dropping out, and that feeling that you know, Corey, Paul, and I had, where the floor was a lot more friendly on Saturday and Sunday, maybe it is peaking. Maybe less people are coming, or maybe the economy's just finally starting to crap out for people where they can't go like they did. Or maybe they reduced the amount of tickets they sold this year. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
Well, I also think, too, what Paul was saying about there being more outside of the convention center. I mean, even if you didn't get a ticket, there was stuff for you to do.
Yeah.
And so I think there was more traffic that was redirected to you know, the Petco Park and just that, and where Trickster, wherever they had their sort of mini con. Uh-huh. There's a lot of stuff now, so it could, you know, it could be a combination of all those things.
Yeah. Well, is Trickster the thing that the guy from Chuck? I never watched Chuck. Is it Nerdfest, or what is the con that the actor from Chuck set up, like the little mini con where they were having panels and stuff?
I don't know about the Chuck. I don't know about that, but Trickster is it's just more creator focused. It was at the is that Wine Steals, I guess, which is some sort of wine store in downtown San Diego, and they had all these creators and symposiums and art stores and that sort of thing.
Oh.
Very creator driven.
Oh, we kept hearing about that, but we never headed
it's
over.
Like my understanding from talking with Miguel is that it's a sort of a pop-up event that is in a different location each year at Comic-Con. This was the second year they had it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I know that here he is, Zachary Levy. He set up like a mini con that I know a friend of mine from work, she's a huge fan of his. She loved that show Chuck and was obsessed with him. And she said she wasn't even going to the Comic Con, that there was enough stuff going on at Zachary Levy's sort of like mini convention that, you know, she was completely happy there. And apparently they had a Doctor Who panel, and, I couldn't make it. There were some seats available, and she texted me and said, they're having a Doctor Who panel over here, so maybe you should come over here. And unfortunately, it was like 45 minutes before our dinner, so I didn't want to ditch out on dinner, so I didn't go to that. But you had to pay, like, it was different from Comic-Con. You had to pay per panel you were going to see. So if I wanted to get into the Doctor Who panel, I would have had to pay $20, you know, and would have had a seat, you know?
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea at all, actually, because then you have it's like the Cinerama Dome out here in Hollywood. You have a reserved seat, right? So
yeah,
you know. And you're guaranteed to get in. You don't have to wait in any kind of a crazy line for the possibility of getting in.
Exactly, exactly. I just wish I could find the name of this thing. All I can find is Zach Levy, and who I guess is going to be in the Thor movie now. The next Thor movie, he's going to play he's replacing a cast member who dropped out.
One of the interesting things I saw this year at Comic-Con that I hadn't seen in a good like 9 years was a couple of empty tables.
That's true. Huh. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. There were empty tables. Which ones, you pointed them out to me, but I can't remember which ones they were. Who did you see drop out?
One of them was the creator of Bob the Angry Flower.
That's right.
He just had a sign that he couldn't make it. And then there was another one that was one of the smaller sci-fi magazines that I don't know what the story was. I just saw the name of the magazine sort of scrawled on a paper on the empty table, but the table was completely empty. And you know, now's the time for booth squatters to, you know, sort of make their comeback.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm trying to look at Bob the Angry Flower to see if there was any news. I remember that because he actually was scheduled for a panel, and when I looked at the Comic-Con app on my phone, it said it was canceled. Not that I've never read Bob the Angry Flower. I've never read, you know, that book, but but just to see that a panel was canceled, that's kind of rare. And it's kind of rare. And he usually has a pretty big presence, like a big booth, doesn't he? Or am I thinking about too much Coffee Man?
Isn't he the one that wears like a sunflower on
his head? Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's one of the, I guess, sort of bigger indie press people.
Yeah. So
but
Ian,
I don't know anybody who reads that.
Me neither. And he's always there. And he was at WonderCon too. And he's usually got a really big booth. So he must be doing something right, because I don't know. So Ian, you didn't make it down to the con this year, right?
No, I never go. I'm truly an outsider when it comes to the con. And I think I first learned about it. I learned about it late. I was at Sony at the time, and they started sending people. Because, you know, I think a lot of the studios were, obviously the entertainment stuff was late to the game, right? The con's been going on forever.
Yeah.
And I remember there just being such a buzz around the office because, you know, some people were going to get to stay in the hotel, of course, and they were going to have, you know, full access to everything. Some people were excited about that. Other people were like, well, you know, it is exhausting because if you work a booth, you're talking to people all day and you're just going to get wiped out.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's just, you know, the bigger studios, like if they're not seeing a return on it in any sort of their Excel spreadsheets, they will drop out eventually.
Yeah.
And the one thing I did see though last night, we had a band barbecue, and one of the guys who's in the band, he was in a smaller zombie musical. I think it's called Rigor Mortis, and they had went to show the movie at the con.
Uh-huh.
Except here's the thing: they weren't really at the Comic Con. They were at a building that was like next to the Comic Con.
Smart.
And which is smart. They got like 100 people for their show, but I did get to see the program for the Comic Con. I just thought that was awesome. I mean, it showed all the artists, and it had a lot of the anniversary artwork in there. And did you guys each get one of those?
Yeah, we got one, but usually I end up tossing mine. I don't really keep it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's just, well, I keep the directory that you know, has the programming in it, but now with the Comic-Con app, and if you can get your cell phone to actually work on the floor and connect, because that's the other thing at Comic-Con is you are not making calls, at least on the Sprint network. You need to text each other to make your plans, because I can't make a call to save the life of me. And it's not just even a connectivity issue, it's just it's loud. There's people talking, but mostly it's a connectivity issue. I'm not going to let Sprint off the hook for that. It's just, I guess there's the explanation that was kind of shoveled out last year was that there's just so many people trying to use their cell phones, and there are taxing the network for such a small space, which kind of seems like BS to me. I mean, but whatever. I'm not a techie, so.
I had an experience in the past with AT&T where they, I guess, were rerouting some of the calls to the towers, and apparently they routed one of my calls across the border, and so I got charged an international for one of my calls.
Oh my god.
You know, the one thing we were getting though, just because social media is pretty much amazing at this point. I mean, I was getting pretty much minute to minute, hour to hour updates on the con. So
yeah, Corey mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime I needed to see anything, it was actually great. Like, I got a full tour of the floor before anyone got in. someone actually went around to every booth and was like, you know, here's all the major stuff. I'm like, wow, like this is pretty awesome. And then another guy in the office has his own actually group of part-time fanboys, and he was getting updates of, you know, the lines, and I did see the Walking Dead panel was like amazingly. I just was astounded, and unfortunately, you know, there was the reports about the Twilight lady
who
got hit, and you know, it's just crazy. I mean, it's like so many people, and but at the same time, being an outsider, it's like I don't know if I'll ever make it there. Maybe if it does calm down, I'll go. Because it sounds like you guys went and had fun, and you didn't really go with some super agenda, really, besides to have fun.
Yeah.
I think it could be crazy if you go there with some other, you know, if you need to see certain things, or you could make it as fun or as not fun as you want. But I think that's the right way to do it, because it just seems so intense, and I'm not good in crowds, man. It's like I get a little bit paranoid, you know.
So well, you would be screwed. you can't go to Comic-Con. But that's the thing. You know, we were also talking about that. There seem to be other options opening up. I mean, there seems to be another convention coming to LA in September, and then a bunch of other creators are opening up like a smaller sort of, they're calling it the San Diego Comic Fest, and they're doing that in like late October or something. And then you've got WonderCon, which I don't know if that's going to stay in Anaheim or that's going to go back to up to San Francisco. But there's other options available to people if you can't or you don't want to go to Comic-Con. And quite honestly, it's funny because I actually saw Scott Shaw yesterday. Because we actually live in the same neighborhood now, and he asked me how the con was, and I was like, yeah, I had a great time. But at the end of every con, there's a part of me that's like, why did I come here? You know, I don't really have a lot to promote. I don't really have, you know, I'm not trying to. It just seems like so much of it is like wheeling and dealing. You know, it's like you're down there, and or if you don't get into the big. Yeah, you sort of get this feeling like if you didn't get into the big panels, you didn't really see Comic-Con. And I don't know why I let myself get sucked into that train of thought, but I pretty much snap out of it. And if I can, I'll be going next year if it doesn't end up being like super expensive. But it ended up being fun. But I definitely do get that sort of I don't know, that post Comic-Con depression maybe sets in, which I hear other people get too. But yeah, it's a big deal, and if we can get you to go next year, maybe you should go. You should come along with us.
No, I'd love to. I think eventually I'll have to. I mean, just from not knowing anything really about it. I mean, what I guess this year, what would you do different? Did you already talk about that?
As far as I don't know. I mean, we talked about, and you know, we don't necessarily want to, you know, rehash everything, but we talked about the things that you can do to sort of improve your experience if you're not dying to get to those giant, you know, Marvel or, you know, DC announcements. And
okay, cool.
But that's what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of alternatives now, and I think you know, we should definitely see if we can get you down there next year, because we were handing out cards. Part-time fanboy card. Well, that's the other thing too. I think that if you are starting up an enterprise or something like that at Comic-Con, I mean, it's not that hard to, you know, and I should leave off with this, it's not that hard to engage people, because I was very surprised as to how open a lot of people were. Like, I would hand them the Part-Time Fanboy card, and I'd be like, okay, this is our podcast, you know, but it's a small podcast, you know, we're just getting started, you know, it's not Comic Book Resources or, you know, Fanboy Radio or anything like that. You know, this is just something that we do. And how many people were like, I don't care, I love podcasts, you know, contact me. So maybe we'll have a couple of interviews coming up with some comic right. creators, you know what I mean? And, you know, whoever wants to join in on that. But I'm not definitely saying, you know, who knows, they could be saying to your face like, this is great, I want to be a part of it. And then, you know, 2 days later, they're just like, whatever, I don't give a crap, you know. But I do think that it can be a really good place to engage people, especially if the people that you're trying to engage aren't necessarily Hollywood douchebags or wannabe Hollywood douchebags. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah. I don't know. So, or even sometimes you get lucky and you meet somebody that you think is going to be a Hollywood douchebag and they're not. So, and I guess the other things are the parties, which we didn't really go to, did we, Paul?
No, we went to the one what was that, Saturday night?
Yeah, at the Hyatt, right?
And it was hilarious because it ended up just being, you know, us leaving and going outside and, you know, talking politics.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is we just went out onto the patio and you see all these people schmoozing, and, you know, we're not necessarily connected into the comic, you know, environment. I mean, when we were leaving, I did speak to somebody who I had spoken to on the floor and had a good conversation with them, but you know, I think a lot of people, and maybe this does happen in certain hotel rooms, but you see like some reporting that goes online where they're like, we had a party and Garth Ennis was like throwing furniture out the window, or, you know, something like that. And I didn't see any of that. Usually, like, when you go down the Hyatt, it's kind of calm, and, you know, and actually a friend of mine told me that maybe Friday nights they actually do fireworks over the bay or something like that. Over
what?
The yeah, which I've never seen. I never knew anything about. But usually Friday night, I haven't been down to the hotels down there. So, but yeah, I don't know. And that's pretty much. Anyone else have any thoughts on Comic-Con? Wonderful thoughts.
No, I would just encourage anyone who hasn't gone to try to go.
Yeah, but don't kill yourself.
And keep an open mind about it.
Yeah, and I also think don't kill yourself, like trying to get down there. There's other options, and as much as it's hyped up, I think, like we've said, there's other conventions coming up. But all right, so I think this is another episode of a Part-Time Fanboy. I think we're wrapped, and hopefully anyone that went to Comic-Con had a lot of fun. Please visit parttimefanboy.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or shoot us an email at ptf@parttimefanboy.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Fanboy.com.